Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Warrior Will.
I think Nintendo has been taking lessons from Joker's Persona 5 because... You'll never
see it come back. Oh, God.
I knew it.
I'm sorry. It was just like, we did not see it coming. I just popped out of nowhere. Like,
that was good, though. Corny, but that was good.
I was like, I think they could have done it more like, we need to surprise the people. And then one of the people stands up and goes, mission accepted. No? No? Okay, fine. All right. Also, if you couldn't hear in the background, that is indeed King Koopa Keith.
What's up, people? I have returns again.
Returns. Okay, if you're wondering where Tellius Tyler is, he is currently on the run from the law. He praised LeBron James just too much. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, he saw the signs. The Last Dance, it was there. But no, okay, we're kidding. He's having a moving situation right now, which he deeply regrets, not just because it's tedious, but because of a certain major announcement that we will, of course, be talking about later. But first, we're going to get all started off with, what have you been playing? Keith, since you are back once again, it's only been like, what, 2-3 weeks since your last entry?
Yeah, I'm becoming a regular on this show now.
Which we welcome, always. Why don't you tell them what you've been playing?
I actually can't
tell you. You can't.
I can't tell you.
Hello, we're reviewers. Don't you get it, dear hostess?
I don't want to break NDA or get in trouble, so I won't say it.
Okay, well, that's different. That's different. You could say you're playing a game for review intent, but you can't say it. All right? You can say that.
Okay, I'm playing a game for review.
There you go.
have been playing other games, but not as much as this one. I want to plug something real quick then. There's a game that came out recently called Hunt Down. It's for PS4, Xbox One, and also I think it's on the Switch. It's a throwback to old school gaming. It's a little gritty. It's, think of it like Smash TV kind of gritty, but it's enjoyable. It's a horror or a vertical shooter with a lot of cover system mechanics, guns. It's like RoboCop. It's exactly like a RoboCop movie.
In a game form.
That's what it is. It's a lot of fun. It's cheap. I do recommend everybody check it out if you like those kind of games. I enjoyed it. I didn't think I would, but I really did.
なるほど。
All right. So, now, can you say whether this game is for the Switch or is it for another console?
It's for another console.
Okay, well, see, now you really can tell us, because we're a Nintendo podcast. Nobody's going to care. No, okay. Joking. No, it's fine if you can only, talk in terms. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. We've all been there, all right? I was like, I've had to hold my tongue on games I've been playing at times because I work for a video game PR firm and I do QA for early titles. Or otherwise, I'd be telling you some of the other games I've been playing today. One of which I actually did play a review title for the Switch today. So that was actually kind of interesting. It wasn't the most interesting game in the world, but you know, it was interesting enough. You know, when it does come out, I'll talk about it. But for me, I have been continuing my run in Cindered Shadows, the Fire Emblem DLC. Last week, I had only gotten through like the first mission. Now I'm on mission like 5 or 6, and dang, this got dark. So, for those who haven't played it, I'm not going to spoil it for you. But let's just say, if you're a fan of Supernatural, they totally stole one of their storylines. I mean, I'm not saying he's not right for wanting to do this. We've all been there in some fashion, but creepy, dude. Creepy. All right. And but the characters are growing on me. Constance, yeah. Huh? She sure has a bright side, doesn't she, Will?
I get what you mean.
I mean, I know. I don't want to cast a shadow upon her or anything, but
It reminds me of one of my favorite Japanese anime.
Which one?
I have a lot.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
I was gonna say, do you really want him to answer that question?
Well, I mean,
I don't think you do.
Can anything be worse than Sengen Kagura? I'm just saying.
Oh, there's a lot more things worse than Sengen Kagura.
Will, Okay, we know real talk. Real talk. I was doing my usual surfing the web, and I saw this article. Let's say that the certain anime. I don't remember the title, and don't say the title if you know it, Will. I see the title. And it says, "Incredibly not safe for work anime." Not safe for work manga is gonna get an anime, and I'm like, okay, I'll bite. And so I'm like, I'm reading this, and sure enough, this comic manga whatever is gonna get an anime, and I'm reading the description of the title, and they basically said that isn't, you know, incredibly not safe for work. It's not visual, thank God, but it's like there's no way to lightly touch around this comic, and yet they're apparently making an anime for it. So it's just like, are we this desperate? All right, and I also and I'm also screaming in my head, "Dang it, Japan! You have one job."
Just a heads up. We'll definitely bring up this topic in the next A1 podcast. And
oh,
yeah,
oh gosh, I would almost want to hear you talk about it. Almost. All right, I'm sure you're all for this comic, Will. Anyway,
hello. We have another anime. If you listen to our prior A1 podcast, but I digress.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, but no, I know there's worse than Second Conqueror. Anyway. But it's getting dark and deep, and this is what, you know, Fire Emblem is all about at times, but I am enjoying it. The levels are very hard, and I appreciate that. You know, it's really taxing my strategic mind, and I appreciate it, but I'm interested. I've pretty much unlocked all the Ash and Wolf characters so that when I do my Silent Snow run, I'll be enjoying that. I'm just trying, and this is real talk, I'm just trying to make it to Xenoblade. All right. I have been in a rut recently. Like today, I felt so meh. It wasn't even funny. I had work. I usually am always begging for work, and I had work today. And I'm like, do I really have to do this today? I mean, and then like one of my shows that I usually watch on Thursday, it's gone. And then I found out it got canceled. Then I found out about the CW thing canceling. And so like, I'm just bummed. I mean, I had a good meal, I have the podcast, and I'm just not feeling it. So, I'm not feeling it! So, I'm just trying to make it to Xenoblade, because then I can focus on that, and I know that's going to be a long game with a lot of side quests that'll keep me distracted for months until a potential other game that I might buy, you know, comes out. But it's just like, oh, I don't know. I need Xenoblade. I need it!
Oh, yeah, we're definitely in another temporary quiet Nintendo period right now. I mean, what was the last major title that released for Nintendo?
Animal Crossing.
Oh, yeah.
Will, why did you even ask that question?
Yeah, dude.
It blanked my mind because, again, like, for me, I actually just had to go back to work. That's how I work. Like, yes, we just came from a quarantine, from a very good quarantine game of Animal Crossing, and I had to go back to work yesterday. And it just...
You, man. You should not be going back into that. That's the government being... The government.
Yeah, but that's another topic for another time. But yeah, that's how bad it is. Like, I completely forgot that Animal Crossing was the biggest title. It was just like last week we talked about it.
Yeah, if you want to complain to Will about how he forgot about Animal Crossing, you could reach him at Shadows on Twitter.
But going back on topic, for me, like, before I went back to work yesterday, I actually haven't continued on with Persona 5 Royal actually at the semi-last dungeon of Shido. It's an old game now, so you probably should know the last boss, the second last boss or so. But I really just gotta say, like, again, Persona 5 Royal, great game. I love the new extra editions, quality of life. What's new? And just a little bit of a small adventure on Fire Emblem Heroes. Like, I gotta give props to you, Todd. Your luck has been very good. And unfortunately, I had to go with the whole 40 summon session to trigger the spark and to get my cursed Ike.
Oh yeah.
And funny enough as well, like while I was trying to get to that thing, the other two, unfortunately, I pulled another ish star, which is also nice. But more surprisingly, I finally got my first Owain.
Like, wait.
Yeah, back on. Oh yeah, of Awakening. Yeah.
Owain. Just pure Owain.
Mm-hmm.
How did it take you that long to get this guy? I've gotten like so many of them. It's crazy.
Yeah, they're just pure Owain, not the dark Owain. Yes.
Yeah, that's weird. Cause I got plenty of him. It's weird.
Yeah, so overall, like, I got, and just like, yeah, Fire Emblem Heroes, it has a few upgrades last I checked, and yeah, just Ashnard went through the whole Bill DeBond's event. It's holy moly, Ashnar, you were right. He does not give a crap about like human life. He just like, yep, just throw away life and just like become the, literally the one man army. Literally, that's what he wants.
Yeah, I love that forging bonds with him. He's like, I like how he talked to Ike. Like, contain yourself, boy. You know.
Yeah, it's just interesting to see the events. And I gotta say, Julius build a bond event. Have they paying tribute to Madoka Magica? Because it really is a story plot for one magical girl anime of Julia's build a bond event. It's just so funny.
Have you gotten all of Leon's or Lion's?
Yeah, I got all of Lion's. I actually reached the end. Like
that
yeah.
was a twist. I like the twist on that one. On the summoning aspect, I want to tell you what happened to me. So I go into I'm waiting for the banner. I get into it, and I do my free summon, and I get Midori, 5 stars. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. Let's get going. And so I'm just starting to summon. I'm already starting to get up on the counter, and all of a sudden I get boom, Corrin, Dark. And I'm like, okay, all right, this is nice, not bad. All right, a few summons later, boom, Julia, like, not bad. Keep it going. Then I get Kaden for the first time, 5 stars. Then I get Garrick, first time, 5 stars. And then finally I get to 40 and I get Ike. So I got 6 5-stars in the course of my summoning run. So
nice.
Like, yeah, nice. I'll take that all the day. Oh, I'm sorry, so... Keith, are we bedazzling you with our gotchas?
I'm just sitting here.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here waiting to be noticed again.
And just as a quick note to finish up, yeah, like I take because you also forwarded this news to us, boss. The whole collaboration event with King of Fighters and the WWE.
I saw that and I was like, "What? This reeks of desperation. Why are you doing this?"
Well, I mean, you saw the other game they announced, right? Battlegrounds, like that reeks of desperation.
Because I was a prior player of the mobile King of Fighters game, and I actually did manage to go pull Kofi Kingston and The Rock from that MOBA, from the gacha game. Sorry, not MOBA, but yeah.
I love the fact that they're using The Rock, and he hasn't wrestled in how long?
Years.
Yeah.
Like, he's not part of this anymore. Why are you still using him?
Because he's The Rock. He's still one of the most recognizable characters in all of WWE, despite the fact that he doesn't wrestle anymore.
And that
right,
says a lot.
He retired. Yeah, he retired. So yeah. I don't know why, but yeah, just seeing his move. Like,
don't call him the
Rock. Just like how they
Hobbs.
Hobbs.
fine, Hobbs. And just seeing like how they more or less animified him into the King of Fighters universe, like Rock Howard with Rock, and like they actually had an official image with that. Oh man, that is just pure fan fiction material.
But they gave Rock a spatula. That's sad. Like, really?
You know why I did it? Because I'm gonna take the spatula, shine it up real nice, turn sour, and shove it up your candy. Beep.
I was gonna say, wait a second, you can't say that.
I can't. Well, I'm the host, so I wouldn't want to say that anyway, but one does not simply not do a Rock quote when talking about The Rock. Anyway, so yeah, it's been a very interesting day of news and a week of news, so let's just get right to it. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And imagine our surprise today. When we go on to Twitter, at least I went on to Twitter, I'm pretty sure Keith got the press release, and we see that Nintendo is announcing a new game. Mm. But not just any new game, it's a new Paper Mario game. Paper Mario the Origami King. Yeah, let's talk about that. So first off, the fact that they just like, what do we want to call this? Cold drop, cold open, whatever?
They just dropped it. They just dropped the bomb and, like, not out of nowhere.
It's news. I mean, it came out of nowhere, but it's not like they dropped it. I mean, dropped it would have been, hey, the game's out today. Here you go.
Well, they did that. Didn't they do that today also with Elder Scrolls Blades? That they did. Because they're like, hey, it's here, finally. We announced it last year, but oh well. Anyway. But yes, there is a new Paper Mario game. It is coming on. Wait for it. July 17th, so we are just about 2 months away from it. And in this version of the Paper Mario franchise, Mario is getting invited to a place by Princess Peach. Stop me when that sounds familiar. Something goes incredibly wrong. Stop me when that sounds familiar. Peach gets kidnapped. Are we stopping yet? And wait for it. Paper gimmick! Okay, in all seriousness, Princess Peach invites Mario to their annual origami festival. Can we just talk about really quick how sure. There's like all these random events in the Mushroom Kingdom, from like stargazing to origami concerts to cooking and peace festivals and everything, and every single one of them something goes wrong. This should be a sign that you just don't host anything, Princess Peach. It's a trap. It's a trap.
Hey, she likes to have fun. She's not a boring gal. How about that?
But every time she tries to have fun, they ruin it by kidnapping her. In fact,
she likes to be the center of attention.
Oh boy! I'll be honest,
I'm gonna let
now.
That go. I'm gonna let that go. Anyway, so she Mario gets invited to the origami celebration when Peach does arrive. She looks like a piece of folded origami. Enter Ollie, Olly, the Origami King, who is going to reshape the Mushroom Kingdom in his image, and has even turned Bowser into an origami shape and taken over all of his army, pretty much all of it. And now you have to go and find, I think it was like these dreamers that will help you rebuild Princess Peach, save the kingdom, and yada, yada, yada. You know the drill by now. And but yes, it is an origami gimmick this time around, and you will be teaming with various characters, both on the Mushroom Kingdom side and the Bowser Army side, including none other than Baby Bowser, who I believe is making his Paper Mario debut. So, yeah.
And yeah, I just wanted to give my first impression when I first saw the trailer. And one, it feels very dark. Like, just the ominous music really? Set the tone. And I don't know, I'm getting reminiscent memories of Thousand Year Door, of the dark subject matter. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because of the origami Peach. That, those eyes, those beady eyes, is just like it scream. I don't know. Something says it just really creeped me out, that initial trailer. And then afterwards, we see the king, which with that emo haircut is like, okay, it's going to be one of those antagonists. It's going to be an emo haircut king who wants to go and rule the world or something of that sort. I don't know. And yeah, like the tone of it also has some interesting bits and nuts, because again, Paper Mario humor has always been top-notch throughout the games. And the fact that Toad was huge and not the short, stubby thing we know in that Egyptian level. And like, there's also like the shadow during that same moment that one Toad enemy doesn't have a face. I don't know. I'm getting some like really, I can sense some dark subject matter in this game, it feels like.
There's nothing wrong for a dark game.
When done right. What about you, Keith? What did you think about it on your first impression of the trailer?
I honestly don't have one, to be honest with you. I've never played the original Paper Mario game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I missed out on a lot of the non-mainstream Mario games when I was younger. So this one is I still can't wrap my head around it just yet. So I don't really have an opinion on it just yet.
Okay.
You gotta remember, when these games were coming out, there was so many other games out, and I was just dabbling in everything.
But there was nothing like Paper Mario. Nothing!
I mean, yeah, during the first game of the N64 era, like it was still trying to compete with the PS1 or PS2.
You had the PlayStation, you still had the Sega Saturn doing its own thing. And arcades were still a thing.
Right. And yeah, then I just will continue with my impressions. Like, yeah, like aside from the whole possible dark tone of it, like a lot of people have just been like speculating whether or not of the new combat system what they showed off, which I guess it is something they're trying to incorporate something new, but at the same time they want to do something their own way, which is, again, I guess we can put it down as an Nintendo move. Like, okay, we hear you, but we don't hear you. And like, okay. And like, when I saw that new combat system, like, are they using a dartboard or some sort? That's my first initial thought. And then I had to change the line, the enemy's position to like combat them. I don't know. It's, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic. Again, we're not really too big on the Paper Mario things, aside from our another absent co-host Tyler here, which he really wanted to talk about, but sadly he is not. He's with us in spirit. And yeah, it has potential. I admit, like, this may be the Paper Mario, maybe suck me back in. I haven't played since the Thousand Year Door, and I don't know. It has potential, but I'm cautious about this one. Maybe good, and of course they had that whole like origami thing with like origamis, ninjas, Japanese culture. That thing I was like always liked in my games. So it has potential. It has potential, and of course that whole Metroid nod at the end. That was they know.
We'll see. I'll admit when I saw it was Paper Mario, I immediately jumped. Okay, I didn't jump. I was in bed and half tired, but I woke up really quick when I saw that it was Paper Mario. And I was like, oh my gosh, we really are getting a new Paper Mario game. And then I see Princess Peach, and I'm like, what the frick? Because I hadn't read that it was called the Origami King. All I saw was Paper Mario when I was looking at the trailer. And I was like, what is this? And then it's like, oh, it's a origami gimmick. And I was like, okay. And so I'm like watching this unfold.
I knew it was coming. I knew, because when I saw all those paper puns, I knew this was gonna be your game, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm a cut about the rest. Oh, so,
geez. Oh please, crease and assist.
Oh,
you're just as bad. Keep it
hey,
up.
Hey, I'm sorry. The puns are a staple of my existence. All right. Oh come on, staple. Like, never mind. you will laugh. I am the host. Anyway. So I'm watching this unfold, which for the record, I didn't mean to be a pundit, but I realized right before I said it. So I'm watching this happen, and it's like, okay, this is interesting. And then I've seen, like, you know, Baby Bowser show up, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then, you know, teaming up with Toads, teaming up with the Koopas, and everything. And the world, now again, visually, I like where this is going. The origami kind of gets this really unique aesthetic to it, which is what really Paper Mario has always been about. It was blending the 2D idea of the paper with a world made of paper, and like the reason we love Thousand Year Doors because like the book aesthetic, it felt like you know page turning, and so with this it's like, you know, it's more folded, and that's pretty cool. And but then once again we get to the battle system, and they had one job, you know, simple, basic 2D RPG gameplay, and what do we get? We get a puzzle board. Like they literally in the press release that various websites got, including us, it noted how it was a puzzle board gameplay where you have to think quick and yet have a strategy. It's just like, okay, I mean, that's kind of RPG-ish, but they don't... This is, and we're going to talk about this later, but Paper Mario is the best worst example of a Nintendo franchise because they started out red hot. There was original Thousand Year Door. I'll even throw on Super Paper Mario. That one doesn't get enough respect. It was a good, solid title in a more of a Mario vein sense. But right after Super Paper Mario, they went for gimmick after gimmick after gimmick, trying to make something stick. There's a reason some things don't change that much. I mean, look at Mario, all right? It's a 2D platformer going left to right, or in the 3D world, you know, up to the flag, and it's fine. The gimmicks are just the different suits that these get. The core gameplay doesn't change. And yet with Paper Mario, they're trying to do, like, everything to make it change. I'm like, why? So, now, I am still intrigued. If there is a demo, I think it would be wise for them to release a demo to get people excited for it. And I will try out the battle system. But I didn't get Color Splash because I didn't like the idea of the battle system. And sure enough, it was one of the weaker parts of the gameplay. And then Paper Jam, I didn't even dare to try. That was the worst of the bunch. And then Sticker Star still has a bitter memory in my mind. So I will give it a chance, but I'm praying, hoping beyond hope, that it's at least more like Thousand Year Door in the original than the others were, because if not, then they're still just spinning their wheels. And this could have been, especially with where we are in the pandemic right now, we need a solid Paper Mario title, you know, a fold above the rest.
Agreed. And I just kind of find it funny as well, because like during the time of recording today, like it was also the same date as when Sony State of Play was showing off in regards to Ghost of Tsushima, which is also the same release date of July 17th, which is kind of interesting coincidence. Like, this game, The Origami King and Ghost of Tsushima, is going to be released on the same day. Both Japanese games. I wonder why.
Yeah, I thought that was odd. That it was like, hey, we're going to announce this the same day to show us some gameplay. And it's coming out the same exact day. Like, really, Nintendo? You're trying to steal some people's thunder, aren't you?
You could say that. You could say that Tsushima doesn't have a ghost of a chance. Book it.
Man, these puns to kill me.
Oh well. Well, I'm gonna do my best to keep an open mind, because again, all we got was a 2-minute trailer that showed like one frame of the battle system. So I'm hoping that as we get closer to the July 17th release date, that we get a lot more information. But it is good to see that, you know, Paper Mario isn't dead. It's just the question of, are they bringing it back to life in a good way, or are they just trying to shell out titles, which we all know never works. So, boy. So, and again, it's going back to the announcement, just dropping it on Twitter, and again, the press release, obviously, but yeah. Twitter mainly, it's just, I grant you that more than likely, they didn't have like the trailer ready for the last Nintendo Direct mini slash regular, like, because this would have been a great way to either start off or end the pot or the Direct, because of the love that Paper Mario has in the community. So I just wonder if it was just a timing thing, and what does this spell out for June? Because I'm not saying they should have waited till June to announce this, especially since we still don't know a lot to what's coming out after Xenoblade, but it is curious that they just said, hey, let's just drop it today. Okay.
I'm guessing because like they're planning for Xenoblade to really cover the month of June, really.
Maybe.
Like, because it is coming out at the end of the month, so I think maybe that's the reason why. Perhaps.
Probably.
And I'm sure that's not the only announcement they have. I'm pretty sure they have others that we just have to wait and see.
I hate waiting, though.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for a lot of things in my life, even beyond Nintendo. It sucks. All right. I'm waiting the world to stop ending. I'm waiting for Wonder Woman 1984 to come out. I'm waiting for this job opportunity that I'm really hoping I get. You know, I'm waiting for my fro to grow another 2 inches. You know,
I'm getting a haircut on Saturday.
Even. Anyway. So yeah, but speaking of Xenoblade, I found this story very interesting. One of the things that the Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition is going to have, which again is coming out in 2 weeks. On the 29th, is they're going to have a new epilogue called Future Connected, like the literal bookends, bookmarks, whatever you want to call it, to the main game. And it's the first new content for the title since it came out on Wii, right? So we already know that it's going to feature a new part of the Bionis Titan that you can go to, and you're going to be
the shoulder of the Bionis, the shoulder.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just gotta point that out, because, like, again, you know, Xenoblade is a big thing, and of course, like, the shoulder, the legs, is just like it's a big world.
Sure. Well, yeah, I guess if you have to be that attentive, sure, yes. And hey, it's all over the right shoulder. Boom. I know, sure. You can't tell, but I'm glaring at you right now. Trying to step up on me, like, oh no, it's not just on Bionis, Todd. It's on the shoulder, Bionis. Yes, Will. Thank you. I'm kidding. That was actually a really good catch. I forgot it was on the shoulder. Anyway, so in it, we are going to be dealing with Shulk and, how you say the name, Will? Melia?
Yes, Melia.
Melia. Yeah. And a lot of people were wondering, since the game is technically old, but this content is new, were we going to get the original voice actors for the game coming back to do all the characters? And the answer is a definitive yes. Nintendo has confirmed via various sources that the original voice cast will be back for the Future Connected, which includes Jenna Coleman as Melia. Now, if that name sounds familiar and you're a Doctor Who fan, that's Clara Oswald. Who knew? I didn't know. I honestly didn't know that. But and she's, of course, one of the fan favorites from the Smith and Capaldi runs. So having her back is going to be a welcome transition. Of course, the voice actor for Shulk has already said he's going to be back, so I'm glad they did, because it's been, like, what, 10 years?
It feels like that.
More?
Ever since Operation Rainfall, yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely feels like a long time now. And, yeah, even back when the original Wii release, and yeah, I think it was pretty much it is during the hype of Doctor Who as well. So yeah, definitely a good coincidence to say at least. Yes,
and it's just good to have consistency because we notice when voices change. I mean, I think we wouldn't, yeah. But we know, like when they did the voice change for Byleth in Three Houses because of the voice actor controversy. You know, it was subtle, but we noticed. So yeah. And it's good that we're going to have the original crew back. Again, I'm looking forward to this game. I've never played it before. I've heard a lot about it. And again, Operation Rainfall and then the 3DS port and Shulk being Smash Bros. I'm really feeling it! You know? I'm excited for this game. So I just got to last 2 more weeks.
I'm personally excited as well. I mean, I obviously still got to go and try to pre-order that special edition of for the game as well, which, yeah, Nintendo, can you please bring out a soundtrack or something? Come on, give something what the UK has.
Please don't. We miss out on every good special edition. It's like Nintendo hates us over here in North America.
Mm.
They're like, oh, would you get this special? No, we don't want that one. We want the big one. Every time there's a big game, they give out this really nice collector edition, which has art books and sometimes statues and really neat features and the soundtrack. And they, for North America, they go, oh, hey, here you go. It's a box and maybe a small art book in the game. And we're like, but what exactly did we do for you to hate us so much? I don't understand that.
But see, and I know you hate it, but I remember Nintendo actually giving us some decent special editions for certain games. Like, I remember when Skyward Sword came out. I got the Golden Wiimote. I got the 25th anniversary soundtrack. I remember the Fire Emblem Fates.
Wow, hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
this guy in the area that likes speeding up the street like a nutcase.
I thought he was going after that special edition. Like, dude, it's already sold out.
I thought it was the Nintendo Ninjas.
It might be.
Like, you're 12 years too late, man. Anyway. When did Skyward Sword come out? Wasn't that 2009?
Oh, man.
No, that was 2011, right? Yeah, it was 11. Yeah, you're still 10 years too late, basically. Anyway, but, like, I remember that one. In Fire Emblem Fates, I got the special edition where you could get all 3 games and all that.
Yeah,
that,
had, like, thing was a hot item. Yeah, that was a hot item.
I had an art book that had that special cover that I never used because I never put my 3DS in it. And, you're like, that was a good special edition. I feel like I got another. What was it?
And I like, I'm not sure you got it, but the Three Houses Special Edition. Ooh, that
yes,
is a beauty.
Yeah. I remember that one. I didn't get it, but I remember that one. I was tempted to get it, but then it sold out. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine without it. So we do get them occasionally, Keith. It's just the one that you really wanted you didn't get.
I don't know about the one, like the ones that I really wanted we didn't get. I mean, there was more than just one that I wanted that Nintendo was like, yeah, no, you can't have it.
And I also recall what even the prior one, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Special Edition, was actually pretty decent.
Oh, I remember that one too, yeah. You know, there's still hope, Keith. It's just very unlikely.
I am not going to hold my breath. We'll leave it at that.
Are you still going to get the game go?
I'm still getting the game, but I kind of wanted the cool one.
Yeah,
I like shinies. I like putting things in my bookshelf. I like putting these things in my office. I like to... Like, oh, hey, this is really cool. I'm glad I got this. Just to see it every so often. We like to surround ourselves with really cool looking things.
So you're like that crab from Moana?
Wait, what?
You never saw Moana?
No, I'm not that guy.
Yeah. Shiny.
That was a good song. That was a really good song. Like the one that came out with Damon X Mechina, that was a really nice one. And we did not get that one. That was
right.
And I kept asking, and I was like, nope, we didn't get the one for our Astral Chain either.
Oh, yeah.
Don't.
See?
I was pissed they did not bring Astral Chain Special Edition.
We didn't get the one for Link's Awakening either. The Game Boy still book.
Really? I don't remember that one.
Yep.
Huh. The more you know. All right, so moving on to last week we revealed or announced or whatever that Mortal Kombat's going to get its first ever story DLC via Aftermath, and one of the hooks of the DLC isn't just the new story, but the addition of Fujin, Shiva, and RoboCop. And today, no, yesterday, sorry, the first gameplay trailer for the Aftermath title was revealed, and it showed Shiva and Fujin and RoboCop in action. And we're going to ignore Fujin and Shiva. I mean, you already know about them. So we're going to talk about all the RoboCop references, because there are so many in that one trailer. It's hilarious. Like, let's talk about the Auto 9. You've got, his epic sniper rifle, which, as Boomstick from Death Battle says, goes boom, and then there's no more anything. So there's his shield. I don't think the shield was part of the movies, was it?
I do not recall.
No.
Keith? I didn't think so. I felt like that was a Mortal Kombat edition, but it feels like something he would have.
I don't remember him having a shield in RoboCop.
But yeah, we have the RoboCop 2, which shows up as part of one of his fatalities. We have one of his most epic moments, where he shoots a guy through the groin area where the sun don't shine. But this time he does it to blow him up, and it's really epic. So
I really gotta appreciate the creativity from NetherRealm Studios. Like, again, like, they get paid tribute. Again, you shoot him in the groin just to basically explode a bomb behind Baraka, and of course, in great action hero fashion, you do not look at an explosion. It's just like,
This is a real story. I once applied to work at NetherRealm when they were doing the Injustice series. Because I really wanted to work with them, and this was actually like a writer, so I could help come up with the attacks, and I was like trying really hard to sell myself. If I could have worked on that game, oh my gosh! Even if I got to work like one character and help make the moveset, because these guys in Galaxies clearly just have too much fun. All right, it's like, how do we make RoboCop feel like a Mortal Kombat character? And it's like, oh, we don't have to do that hard. It's like, here's the Auto 9, here's the sniper rifle, let's throw in RoboCop 2, let's do his charge attack and everything, and his various electricity, and I'm like, okay. And it would have been so much fun, thinking of his lines, because I swear, if he doesn't say dead or alive, you're coming with me to one person at least, fail.
He needs to say your move, creep. He needs to say
your
that.
Move,
yeah. And I also, there's like one line that's kind of became such a meme. I buy that for $1.
Oh, yeah. I can see Johnny Cage selling that. Him going against Johnny is like, I can give you the law. I'm like, I buy that for $1 or something like that.
I also love the fact that, like we mentioned before, we now have a fighting game with both the Terminator and RoboCop.
Yes, which they did show in the trailer. You can do that. Now, as Death Battle happily revealed, RoboCop does own Terminator in a one-on-one fight, but this is Mortal Kombat, so that doesn't matter. So seriously, if you haven't gone to see that episode, the 3D is a little old because it was made like 10 years ago, but it's still a really fun death battle. Anyway, but RoboCop and Terminator and Joker and all these characters. Spawn! With Keith David, of course, as his voice.
It's so classic. So
I wonder what that combo was going to be. Spawn and RoboCop. What kind of combo would that be?
What?
The combos, like when in the match intros, like I wonder how it'd be. What was Spawn
combos? I'm like, we already talked about the combos. No, okay, convos, the conversations. All right, I have no idea. I mean, we know the one with Baraka. What in the 10 hex are you? I am the future of law enforcement. I'm sure the Terminator one's gonna be hilarious.
All the conversations in Mortal Kombat games are really good. So yeah. Especially if you watch, somebody has a video out on YouTube right now with the interactions with Spawn and Scorpion.
I love
that one. It's like
we could conquer the realms together only if I am in charge.
That's not in the cards.
Keith David,
what a guy.
His voice is like, okay,
it's eternal.
Yep.
Keith David.
Like, I can sum up Keith David in three games that he's been in, or three properties that he's been in. All right. Gargoyles, obviously.
Yep.
Spawn, obviously. Herb. Saints Row.
Yep. He was in there too.
He was in there twice, as Julius and as Keith David. Gosh. I mean, how much fun does that guy get to have in life, where he's like Academy Award winning actor, done all these different roles. He gets in there for major parts, cameos. Everyone reacts once Keith David. Oh, he lives the life. So.
Mm-hmm. So I'll say that also in Mass Effect as well. In the original Mass Effect.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yep.
key part of Mass Effect. He just does it all. He just does it all. Bless you, Keith Dave. And thank you, NetherRealm, for bringing us RoboCop. So,
you know, even though it is actually Peter's voice, when I listen to it, maybe it's just me, but it doesn't sound like RoboCop that I remember. It's him, but it just sounds off somehow. Maybe it's
that's not the original actor's voice.
No, he said it was.
It was in a tweet. It was confirmed.
Yeah,
as
he
Peter
brought
Lola.
Him back. It doesn't sound like him.
Are we sure? Because Alex, the original
Ed
Alex
Boon
Murphy
confirmed on his Twitter account that it was Ed Boon. I linked it. Yes, I wrote the article. He and Boss also linked it that Ed Boon confirmed himself on Twitter that it was Peter Weller's voice.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound like him. It's weird. Again,
that
it's just
because
maybe
he's
me.
Dead. Like, he's been dead for years. Like, we're talking about the original RoboCop, right?
Who was the original actor?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the original RoboCop's been dead for like 3 years. Okay, I'm looking at this. This is important information for a Nintendo podcast.
Oh, he's still alive.
When did we
Peter Weller?
I think maybe I was thinking of someone else.
Yeah,
I thought for sure that the original. I thought for sure that the original RoboCop was gone.
No, he's still alive.
Oh, I must be thinking of someone else.
I know he's old, but yeah. But
what am I thinking about that? I could have sworn they said the original RoboCop was dead. Huh. Oh well, this is why we look these up.
He doesn't sound the same. I don't know.
Well, I think part of it is obviously that, A, he's a lot older, and B, I'm sure in the movie they altered his voice slightly, and I'm sure like it wasn't the exact same thing. It's not unlike probably, you know, Keith David can pull off Spawn 20 years later because it's Keith David, right? He doesn't need to sound that much different. But
well, perhaps it could be like, of course, sound direction, the engineers do it
in
the studio, perhaps of that. Because again, the voice is synthesized, so maybe, who knows?
Yeah, he's alive, Peter Weller. I apologize. I thought he died. Maybe I'm thinking. I know one of the guys is dead. The guy who played Bob Morton, or the guy who said you're going to be one bad mother ever. Yeah, he's gone. I know he's dead, but whatever. So, but yes, RoboCop again is coming out May 26th. So that's going to be interesting. And so I just wanted to note that in the course of from May 26th to May 29th, we're going to have three major releases. Xenoblade Chronicles, Mortal Kombat Aftermath, and Shantae, and the Seven Genie.
Sirens,
right? Seven Sirens, and we've got some updated news on that. Keith, take it away.
Well, just it's not really new news, but it's actually kind of funny. So, a lot of people were confused as to when Shantae and the Seven Sirens will be releasing for PC because the PC market is a little fragmented right now. We've got Steam, we've got Epic Game Store, we've got Origin, we've got a bunch of different storefronts out there. And a lot of people weren't sure when it was coming out, what platform, and I wasn't sure either. So I contacted Way Forward, and they were like, oh yeah, it's coming out on these platforms. So I said, alright, cool, I'm going to let everybody know. But if you go back to the original trailer that announced it, it does show it's coming out for PC on Steam and GOG, but they never came out and officially said it. So I don't know if it was an oversight by them leaving it in the trailer because they never confirmed it with anybody else. Because when I went back and asked them, they waited a day or so to get back to me. Like, we weren't sure. Let me check. So, it's coming out on PC for Steam and GOG. It may hit the Epic Game Store, but those are the two storefronts.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I checked on that is because one of our readers on Twitter was like, What storefronts are coming out on? If it's coming out on Epic, I'm not going to buy it. And I'm like, well, okay, we'll try and find out. So, yeah.
That's weird. Weird. Yeah.
It's only one trailer that shows that. And that's it. No other trailer shows it.
Curious.
That was weird.
It reminds me of when Mortal Kombat 11 was announced. Like, the trailer they showed at the VGE Awards, it didn't say Switch, and then, like, the one they put on the internet did. And then Tyler said, like, no, it's coming out for Switch. I'm like, I just saw the trailer. It didn't say that. He's like, no, watch this trailer. And he's like, oh, it does say Switch. Okay. So,
it's
get it
weird.
Together, people. You have one job.
Yes, like, I say it a lot of my jobs. Like, the left hand's not talking to the right hand. Come on now. You know what's going on here.
It's like, I need to know.
So, inquiring minds need to know. We figured it out. Even though the answer was already out there.
And then, keeping with the Shantae news, there was a new gameplay video that showed off one of the Shantae's new transformations. She can merge with the powers of one of the other sirens and have all new abilities. So
yes, so on that, she will meet up with new half genies, and you get access to what's called a fusion coin, which will grant her new abilities.
Cool.
I did not follow the game when it released on Apple Arcade because I don't have an Apple device, so I didn't play it.
You don't have Stadia? Come on, man! It's
no,
Stadia.
I got rid of Stadia, but it's not on Stadia either. It's
I was
only
joking,
on Apple Arcade.
I don't care.
But I got rid of that Stadia long ago. I got it. Yeah. I reviewed it. I was like, nope, give me my money back. No, thank you. Bye. Which was proven to be the wise choice because I don't think Stadia is going to be around for another year.
If you thought the Wii U was bad.
Man, this thing is... Whew, Google is just... Yeah, we won't talk about that here. Yeah. But yeah, so it's going to be an interesting game. I got to say, I'm not a fan of the art direction in this one just because the game was originally developed for the Apple Arcade, was developed for a mobile experience compared to the last couple of Shantae games we got, which were developed for the consoles. So this one feels a little more mobile, if that sounds right. It just doesn't have the same appeal of the last game. It doesn't have the appeal of Half-Gene Shantae, the Half-Gene Hero. It does not have that whatsoever.
That's disappointing. Because I got as long time listeners, almost said readers. Yes, you read a podcast. I mean, you could, I suppose. But you know, when Half-Gene Hero came out on the Wii U, I loved the game, and I actually named it the year. And then of course it like spawned to all the other consoles and all that. So when Shantae 5 came out, I was very, very happy because I really liked the game, and I still maintain that Shantae will be in Smash. At the window looked like the Smash logo. I'm keeping that hope alive.
I think that ship has sailed.
She will
it's
dance
gone.
Through the danger of Smash. Okay, there's your thing. Shantae dances through the danger right there. Book it. Called it. Anyway.
I mean, I just, again, on the looks real quick. I mean, even the older games, like the ports from, like, Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, which was, I believe, was on 3DS first and then made the jump over. That has a nice appeal to it. I mean, if you watch the videos of it, no one, it just doesn't sit right with me.
No, I understand.
I don't like it.
And if that is the case, then I will definitely note it because I'm pretty sure I'll review it. But I'm still excited, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they develop it and where it all goes from there. Best we can do. And I would say the same thing with the Xenoblade, with Mortal Kombat, and Paper Mario, and all of them. So. Gotta hope for the best and then condemn them to high heaven when or the underworld. The Nether Realm. There we go. We're condemning them to the Nether Realm when they screw up. It's like you had one job! She's Shantae, you know what to do. So. Also, once they're done with Shantae, okay, I know we talked about this like a month ago, but once they're done with Shantae, they need to get back and make a DuckTales game. Alright?
I don't think we're going to have a DuckTales game.
Why not?
I would love to see one, but I don't know.
That fake, that wasn't technically a fake, but that April Fool's thing that was a real DuckTales game. that was pitched, I'm just like, that was perfect! Hire those people, put them with WayForward, make a new DuckTales game! We need it! DuckTales forever! Woo!
That's going to be completely up to Disney. And
I know.
Ever since they started with their whole gaming kick again, they've been really weird on who gets what franchise.
And it sucks because I'm like, Disney, you're trying to exploit Star Wars to high heaven. You, for whatever reason, felt that Ant-Man deserves 3 films, and yet we can't get a DuckTales game? Hello? DuckTales?
Hey, at least we got the new animated show, which I love. I make sure I do not miss an episode of it.
Oh,
they've
no,
been great
no,
so far.
Absolutely. DuckTales Season 3 has been amazing so far. But, yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. Speaking of a thing, Switch Online. That's still a thing. So yes, we 3 new SNES games are coming to Nintendo Switch Online. Keith, I think you still have that up. Do you?
You really want me to talk about those games?
Just list them off and then we can move on.
All right, bring it back up for a second. So we've got 3 Super Nintendo games coming out. Wild Guns, which is actually pretty good. Panel de Pon, which is some kind of puzzle game. I've never heard of it. Apparently, that launched for the Super Famicom back in 1995, and it's the first time the game's ever been over to North America. So, yeah, that's weird. Operation Logic Bomb, which is another game I never heard of.
It's something we could definitely use in the modern world. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Logic Bomb. Yeah,
Logic Bomb!
And for the Nintendo, we got Rygar, which I remember was an old-school action-adventure game from Tecmo.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all those games, I would play Wild Guns and Rygar.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, those are, I saw that, like, when it just got announced just a few months before the podcast, like, okay. Extra editions is always nice to have it.
I remember playing Rygar, not the Nintendo version. It was an arcade game first. It was one of those things where, oh, this is a cool arcade game, and it came with the Nintendo. I was like, this is nothing like the arcade game, but okay. Interesting
you
times.
You lied to me, Nintendo. Why? Now, this is something we didn't mention in the quarterly data from last week. Nintendo Switch Online has got like 15 million subscribers or something like that. 15 million. And
really?
Yeah, but there's like 55 million there's 55 million Wiis out there. And we all know that those use Nintendo Switch Online. Nintendo Switches are in like the 55 millions. And so that means that less than a third of all Switch owners have it. And there's more than 50 million people who have bought Super Smash Bros. So how do you figure that they all buy it for the single player mode? So, I don't know. Weird.
It's definitely, again, that we'll definitely talk about more in the main event. But yeah, like, for all, as much as I appreciate these old classic games coming to the Nintendo Online service, which is okay, it's nice, Punch Out, all that, all these classic games, Wild Guns, I was about to say Wild Arms. But
why not?
Wrong game.
Yeah.
Still a classic, though.
It's like Nintendo, you're sitting on a gold mine. You're sitting on so much classic IPs. What are you doing? Just put them all there now. What about the N64 library?
Yeah, I don't know, Will.
Don't give me hope.
Don't give me hope. Don't give me hope.
Don't want it. No. I'll be sad. All right.
Finally, we have another new game release that is coming in the form of Harvest Moon: One World. So, this game is coming exclusively to the Nintendo Switch by the Harvest Moon company, Natsume Inc. And it's going to be with longtime partner Rising Star Games. Bring the game to the West. According to this, Harvest Moon One World features a brand new way of exploring Harvest Moon that seasoned players and new generations will both enjoy. Over the decades, Harvest Moon has evolved, but has always retained the traditional family-friendly farming fun. Say that five times fast. That the franchise is known for. The new engine and new graphics will upgrade this experience for 2020. We are so excited to share more about the features of Harvest Moon One World in the coming months, end quote. And apparently in this new version, you are in a world without a lot of crops, and only an old book can give you a hint as to what was. So you have to basically regrow the entire world.
And yeah, speaking as a longtime Harvest Moon fan back in the day of the N64, and yeah, it's definitely interesting to see the Harvest Moon license coming back after all these times, and especially with the whole legal issue regarding to how it changed from to Story of Seasons.
Yeah, so what's going on with that? I saw like a lot of people being mad about this. So what's the deal with Story of Seasons and Harvest Moon?
Well, it's kind of because like how it was also localized here in the West, and again, there's like a whole little bit legal issue of Harvest Moon, the Harvest Moon name, and then there's when you like bring it over, like I think it was like when they were trying to bring it over to like to Sony systems, like the PS3 or something of that sort, if I recall, they had to go and change the name to Story of Seasons.
Right, because, I remember that. Yeah,
huh?
Right. So there was just a little bit of legal trouble there. So because the next current Story of Seasons game is also based on a Harvest Moon Back to Nature back on the PS1 days. It's coming to Nintendo Switch at the end of, I think, yeah, July as well, like sometime around July or so. But yeah, that's the next coming game for that's officially a Harvest Moon game, but not a Harvest Moon game. I know it's confusing. But with this news of Harvest Moon One World, it's interesting to say the least, because apparently this is supposed to be like a, like basically, like what's the word? Show off the entire universe of Harvest Moon. It's not just Friends of Mineral Town, not Back to Nature, but the entire world around it. I mean, the last game I played was back in the GameCube with Magical Melody, and it's again, this was before the whole farming game of Stardew Valley, Terraria, those all big farming games that got booming before then. And personally, I always did love the Hearthstone games, but there were all, some people argue like regarding to some quality of life changes here and there, and especially with the whole the news game of Story of Seasons, that of the whole character designs, which that causes some debate over there. But overall, but going back on topic, One World, if they can do this right, I think we can definitely see a good revival of Harvest Moon. But it really depends on what they do. Are they going to continue with like the classic Harvest Moon games that that I know and love back in the N64 days or even PS1 days? Or like, are they going to incorporate something from the Story of Seasons license? It's definitely something to give hope about, but I'm cautious of how Natsume is going to go with this game because, again, unfortunately, Harvest Moon is a niche kind of license and title, so only a certain is definitely meant for a certain taste, to say the least.
I don't think I've ever played a Harvest Moon game, so this isn't isn't for me. But I know the franchise is very well respected.
Well, because that's actually the license that really influenced Stardew Valley, because like Stardew Valley, the premise of Stardew Valley is basically you get away from your the city life of a dead job, you're working minus hours, just go to the countryside, just grow crops, do whatever you want. That's basically a vacation from home, basically. Something similar to Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I believe that's one the creator of Stardew Valley said they got an influence from, because it is influenced from that same premise, like get away from the city, just start up either your old grandfather's farm or of that sort, and just like, yeah, just live out a life, kind of like Second Life in a sense. So that's kind of the main influence.
It's kind of funny that in 2020, one of the biggest gaming storylines is about two farming simulators. It's like, I want you to imagine that there are two farming games with two entirely different titles with similar gameplay, and yet no one can decide which one is better and which one deserves not to exist. This is the problem in the gaming Twilight Zone. yeah. And then did you see the meme about the coronavirus? It's like, I want you to imagine a world that is being affected by a Chinese virus that is named after a Mexican beer. Good times. Good times. Anyway, but yeah, it's like I said, it's been a light news week, but some interesting things. And the Paper Mario news is the one that really is sticking with us. So though you've been teasing it for a long time, I think now, more than ever, is the perfect time to dive into things Nintendo got wrong. Alright, I'm going to go first because it's been so long since we've done one of our Nintendo Does Wrong segments, because we do love Nintendo, but at times they just stick themselves in it and they just refuse to get out. And I find it very apropos that we're talking about Paper Mario, because that is the one I am going to be talking on. Now, I believe in our very first thing Nintendo got wrong, I talked about Paper Mario. But I'm going to go beyond that. Paper Mario Sticker Star. I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going to go beyond Sticker Star and just talk about the battle system. And I know I've alluded this to in the earlier segment, but let's really dive deep into this. When Paper Mario came out on the N64, it was literally the spiritual successor to Paper Mario and the Seven Stars, Legend of the Seven Stars from Square and Nintendo, which just celebrated its 24th anniversary, ironically enough. And that game was fun. It was really, you know, innovative for its time. You know, Mario in an RPG setting, we had never even thought of such things. I mean, this was before all the Mario spinoffs really came out. I think at that point we only had Mario Paint and Mario Kart. So, and which one of them was actually good. So then Seven Stars comes out. It's, you know, new take on the Mushroom Kingdom. It was all good. Then Paper Mario refined that into a, you know, very simple RPG setting. Thousand Year Door put an even bigger story, bigger battle system, but yet was the same thing. Then Super Paper Mario took it more back to the classic Mario setting, but with the switch of, going from 2D to 3D setting, which was cool, but we kind of missed that 3D thing. But then with Sticker Star, and I love Shigeru Miyamoto to death, but this is totally his fault. They said that they wanted to go back to the original, but Miyamoto felt that, no, you have to keep shaking things up or it's going to get stale. That's not always true, Mr. Miyamoto. All right, I mean, Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy had turn-based RPG for years before they went to free flow. So And, like, ever since Sticker Star, it just got worse and worse and worse. I mean, Sticker Star was, like, you had to collect all the stickers, and that's how you did battle. So you had to look for the right stickers to match your right strategy, which was a pain in the butt. And then Paper Jam was a fusion of things that just did not work out at all. Color Splash was about painting with a hammer and, you know, like, summoning lemons. I mean, really? That's your big idea? Hey, let's have a card that summons a lemon? I don't know. And then now we have this ring-based turn strategy quick-thinking system, and it's just like, is it really so hard to just stick with what works? I mean, look at Pokemon! Alright, yes, there are people who want a certain free-flowing Pokemon combat system like they do in the anime, and I even had an idea for how to make that work with my own Pokemon game idea, but I'm not gonna fault Nintendo and the Pokemon company for continuing to make it a turn-based battle system. You can improve the graphics, you can add new moves to the game. Sorry, hiccups. You can add new moves to the gameplay, like Z-moves and Mega Evolutions and all that. Those are just extensions of the core battle system. And it works! Nobody complains about the battle system most times. It's usually about the story or the Pokemon things and, you know, certain issues with the wild area or whatever. But it's never about the core gameplay. The core gameplay works! That's why Pokemon's a bestseller for 20 freaking years! And yet with Paper Mario, they just get it in their heads that ever since Thousand Year Door, which was their best-selling title in the franchise, pretty sure... I might need to really look up those numbers. It's either that or Super Paper Mario. But, like, Sticker Star failed. Paper Jam failed. Color Splash did decently. Alright? And it's like, usually they revert back to what works. Like, look at Metroid. They failed so hard with Other M and Federation Force that what do? They went right back to the Prime Trilogy. Because those were the last bestsellers on the game. Oh, yes, they did do Samus Returns on 3DS. Totally acknowledge that. But for the console, they went right back to Prime because they knew that they could make that work after they realized that Retro was the right person to do it. So, and then Pokemon, it stayed the same. Legend of Zelda, has that ever really changed? I mean, yes, it went from like the overview to the more third-person camera, but even then, they still have games that do the top-down and then the others do the camera. It's still an action-adventure game. You're still using items and solving puzzles and battling monsters. It's just you're changing the looks and the out aspects and adding new items and everything. It's not rocket science, all right? It's harder to make a game good than just thinking, like, how do we make the battle system work? You stick with what works, and only occasionally do you evolve it. Like Final Fantasy VII Remake. That's a great example. You know, the turn-based system kind of wouldn't work in with a 3D effect. I mean, it could, I suppose. But, you know, they want to advance it and still make it feel real. And they found a good balance, which I'm sure Will will attest to. But, you know, if they went back to it and just did, like, a slightly more refined turn-based system, I don't think anybody would have cared because they know that it works. And it just boggles my mind that for now, four straight Paper Mario games with Sticker Star, Paper Jam, Color Splash, and now Origami King, they're just so focused on... trying to throw, like, Will, you said it earlier, throwing things at a dartboard. Mm-hmm. You know, throwing things against the wall and seeing what sticks. Sometimes things don't stick, okay? And then sometimes you realize that the dartboard is just fine the way it is, so you use the dartboard like it was intended. Okay, so just, if this doesn't work out, which I have a bad feeling it won't, but if it doesn't work out, go back to the gosh dang RPG system we love. Stop trying to reinvent the wheel. I feel better.
Got that out of your system, did you?
I love Paper Mario. Thousand Year Door is a beautiful game. I almost cried when I found out that my second cousin was going to be named Vivian, because Vivian's one of my favorite characters in Nintendo history, and she's from Thousand Year Door. And I even named one of my fanfic characters Vivian, because I loved the character so much, right? It's just like, there you go. Like, that game meant a lot to me. I didn't even get to the third level of Sticker Star. I tried. I was like, okay, the sticker thing, it's kind of cool, okay. And then I like get in like my 10th battle, and I'm so over it. I don't even finish the game. I don't even try. I just straight up rage quit because I'm like, this is stupid. And I don't do that. I am a gamer. I believe in trying to beat a game unless A, it's broken, which I've sadly had to deal with, or B, it's just so dumb it's not worth my time. And this was one of those games. And I hate that. And I've not played a Paper Mario game since.
Well, wait a minute, Todd. Didn't you say that the other games were terrible?
Yeah, because I read all the reviews and all the other comments that said they were terrible. So it's not just me. I am not alone. I am not the 1%. All right? So I just want this franchise to do well. I always want Nintendo to succeed, and when I see something that I just feel is going too far from the formula, I gotta call it out. And I think that's something that, like, fan bases get wrong at times, is that, you know, when you love something like Nintendo or wrestling or comic books, you know, you think, oh yeah, they're a stand for life. No, we're not. We know what's quality. We know what they can do, and sometimes they royally screw up. And with Paper Mario, this is a consistent thing that they've gotten wrong since Super Paper Mario. They've tried to reinvent the wheel too much. They are they keep trying to go away from what... And the fans have made it very clear what they want. There have been numerous hashtag movements about, you know, Thousand Year Door sequel. And when the rumors came out about the next Paper Mario game, everyone was praying that it was going to be about... Or in the vein of a Thousand Year Door. And fun fact, I was going to do a April Fool's joke about it being a Thousand Year Door sequel, and then certain someone stopped me. Gee, I wonder who.
Drama.
So, like, we've let them know what we want, and for whatever reason, Nintendo just keeps saying, nah, we know what'll work, and so we're going to just do this. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to be the first one to say I told you so. So you can take that to the bank. Okay, now I feel better. You guys can talk while I look up Paper Mario and sales numbers.
How far back are we allowed to go? Because, I mean...
As long as it's Nintendo-related, as far back as you want. If you want to go Virtual Boy, I don't care. If you want to go the original Donkey Kong arcade game, you do you, man. You do you.
I mean, there's so many blunders on Nintendo's part.
Pick the one that you're most passionate about. Pick your version of the Paper Mario debate, okay? Go for it.
Well, that's the problem. I'm passionate about multiple things, so... Oh, man.
Which one boils your blood the most? Go with that.
I mean, last time we talked about it was definitely one the online, last I recall.
No, it's definitely online. The online is my biggest pet peeve with Nintendo. Nintendo Switch Online is a joke. The fact that they want us to pay for this service that is half-baked, doesn't provide any kind of voice communications... Selective game saves. It doesn't make the transition to another Switch easy whatsoever. It's garbage. It is a garbage system. And I was hoping when Nintendo announced this was going to be good, they were working on it. They were looking at other online services, and they were going to give us finally something to bring Nintendo in line with what the other consoles are doing. And then they give it to us, and it's like, is this a joke? What is this, Nintendo? We can't even use voice communications. Oh, you can use your phone. Why the heck would I want to use my phone? It doesn't make any sense that they're still so far behind that they still don't understand how to give us a decent online service. On top of that, they also go and decide, oh, hey, you know this Nintendo eShop that has your 3DS and Wii games on there? Yeah, that's going away. So if you have games on there, sorry, wait, I can't bring those over to the virtual console? No. Wait, so I don't get those anymore? Yeah, you kind of lose those. But that doesn't make any sense. I paid for them. Yeah, we're sorry about that. What? How do you not have this figured out yet? I mean, the way I let my subscription lapse, it was not worth it. It simply was not worth the money. $20, it's not worth $20. It simply is not. Considering, for example, what Xbox and PlayStation gave you, even in regards to your cloud saves, you don't need to have a subscription. They will give it to you up to a certain amount. Nintendo wants us to pay for it. And then again, it's not for all the games. Like, what? Yeah, I'm not a fan of that, as you can tell. I am not a fan of Nintendo Switch Online. It is busted. I don't like the fact that they decided to go back and say, you know what? You know how you could buy the Super Nintendo Classic and Nintendo Classic? Nah, no. You're going to buy these games online now. You can't just buy the system. Which I also think was basically because of people were buying those consoles and putting all different ROMs on there. They didn't like that. And they weren't getting the money, which is why I really think they killed them. Yeah, Nintendo Switch Online is a joke. I'm not a fan of it.
And also because like you clued in as well before the podcast as well, because since the whole EVO tournament as well, you brought up that Super Smash Bros. Ultimate was dropped from EVO.
I was surprised that wasn't brought up during the podcast, but can I talk about that real quick?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, so if you haven't been following EVO, you know EVO 2020 has been scrapped in favor of an online event, and one of the biggest games of EVO 2020, one of the ones that got the most entrants, was Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and it's now gone, and it will not be in EVO Online, which now spans 5 weekends, and the reason for that is basically the netcode in that game is terrible, and people have asked Nintendo for months to please address this, and they ignored it. So now the game will not be in still one of the biggest fighting game tournaments in the world. And what it's a slap in the face to Nintendo fans because that game is clearly very popular. And I want to see if Nintendo goes back and goes, okay, well, maybe we should finally address this. The game's been out for, what, a year?
About 18 months. It was December 2018.
Almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years, end of this year. So, and Nintendo hasn't addressed the netcode whatsoever. Yet, that's the only game out of the original 8 that was removed. Because the netcode is that bad. And what's funny about it is, I was expecting Nintendo fans to be upset. And a lot of them were like, I agree with that decision. The netcode is bad. So if your fighting game fans are telling you, hey, this was a great decision, what does that tell you about the status of that game online?
Yeah.
It ain't good.
The online thing, the online aspect of okay, I love Nintendo. We talk about this all the time. Nintendo is incredibly forward and forward thinking in various ways, but then they're so backward in the other. And for whatever reason, online is one of the things they are so backwards at. It's mind boggling. Like it literally hurts our brains. What?
You would think that would be a focus because, as you can see, especially now of all times, online is a big focus of everything.
Yeah.
Nintendo needs to look at, again, and actually do work or actually bring in a younger generation who understands, hey, this is how this ship work. This is what needs to happen. Because the people that are running the ship right now, as far as online is concerned, do not have a clue.
Yeah.
The fact that you are excluding games for cloud saves, it's mind-boggling. No. All these games should have cloud saves. All of them. Online is about social interactivity, communications, voice communications. That needs to be there.
Yep.
You don't want to put it in your game. Okay, at least give people the ability to have parties. And then they can do it that way. You don't even give them that option. You tell them to use their smartphone.
Yeah,
if I'm going to use an app on my smartphone, I might as well just call these people up.
Yeah. It's like, use Skype on your phone. Why don't I just do Skype like somewhere else? It's like, wow. Like remember like the Splatoon app where you can like track. Yeah.
And then, I enjoy that thing from what it is for the most part, but again, they basically asked you to use the Nintendo Online app to do voice chat. Like, that's kind of the reason why we have Discord in the first place and Skype even prior to Nintendo Online app system. It's like, they are they can do good online. I mean, again, like I look at Splatoon 2, like I love that thing. Runs great.
Well, I will tell you this: you know, as a parent, I'm frustrated with Nintendo. The fact that, okay, I don't have to do it now because he's gotten better. But when I wanted to limit my son, I had to go to an app. Why can't I go to the darn Switch and make everything change there? Why do I have to use a mobile app to set the panel controls? Why do I have to do that?
Okay.
It's bad, and it's just like you said, Keith. With everything that's going on with the now, I can give them a pass for the Wii. All right, the Wii was their first online console. They were obviously behind from the Sony and Xbox point of view, so they needed to learn some things, and that's fine. We all need to break in one way or the other. The Wii U, yeah, it had its moments, and you know it was doing okay at parts. You know, Splatoon and Smash Brothers were still fine. And Mario Kart, obviously. But then with the Switch, this should have been like their, hey, we get it. We know how to make this work. And yet they didn't.
Nope, it should have been a slam dunk. They should have been like, all right, we got you guys. We heard you. Here you go. Nope, you didn't give us anything. You just, thanks, I guess.
It's sad.
Maybe next time.
Maybe next time. Maybe with the Switch 2. Switch you. We're going to switch you out with this next game. Ayo! All right, before I let Will do his rant, I do want to give an update. I looked up the official sales numbers for all the Paper Mario games. This is actually really fascinating, okay? The original Paper Mario game sold 1.37 million on the N64. Not bad for a new franchise. Thousand Year Door sold about 2 million units, give or take. All right? It's just a little bit under. All right? Super Paper Mario was actually the best selling in the franchise, which I slightly called, with 4.23 million copies sold. Now remember, that was on the Wii, which had over 100 million units sold, so keep that in mind. Sticker Star actually did better than I expected. It sold about 2.43 million, but it was also one of the worst reviewed games in the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't have the Paper Jam numbers, but Color Splash, which was the last main one on the consoles, I still can't believe this. It sold 0.186 million copies, so 186,000 units worldwide.
Wow.
Worldwide. I thought I saw that Paper Splash did better than that. I was wrong. So yeah, that's how bad you fail. And if you screw up with Paper or Origami King, yeah, you have no excuses anymore. You got to go back to Thousand Year Door style. So I'm not saying I want this to fail. I want this to be clear. I do not want Origami King to fail, but I also want it to be like we know Paper Mario can be. And yeah.
Right. Basically a step forward. Into like what it's supposed to be. Again, classic, like back to form that a lot of fans want.
You can do a step forward with advancing techniques. Again, look at Pokemon with the Mega Evolutions and the Z moves and everything. You know, not all of them worked, like the triple battles or rotation battles or whatever, but most of it did, and that's why it's now classic. But with Mario, Paper Mario, they're not taking steps forward, they're taking side steps. Then let's do the Mario shuffle. You know, let's just see what works. Like, no, I don't want you to shuffle. I want you to walk forward, you know. Walk this way. Yeah, baby. Hey, watch it. That's Aerosmith you're talking about here. Don't you sigh at me, Happy.
It's just that delivery of yours is just...
Hey,
don't do it, Will. You'll set him up for something else. Just stop where you're at.
Exactly.
Just stop.
Yeah. All right, Will, what's your thing that Nintendo has gotten wrong?
I'm trying to make sure I don't sound like a broken record from the prior ones, but just, I really have to criticize regarding to just the way that Nintendo definitely handles their IPs, as I alluded earlier in the podcast. And because they're pretty much are sitting on a buttload of IPs, like, even with classic like Punch Out, I mean Punch Out, they haven't brought Punch Out back since the Wii game back on
Wii.
It first came out, and just like I'm just looking at all these things, Punch Out, F-Zero, like I'm looking at all these things, and like I feel like they could definitely do a lot more with it. I mean, yeah, even Takamaru's Castle, which they only briefly cameoed in Nintendo Land back on the Wii U, which, I don't know. I feel like perhaps they could do something with Takamaru's Castle. I don't know.
But it was also a assist trophy in Smash Brothers.
Right. So that's the thing. I feel like that they're kind of slowly adapting into Sega's old mentality of like really doing... not acknowledging their old IPs. I mean, of course, like now we are confirmed we're getting Metroid Prime 4 whenever that comes out. And but I just feel like there's so much things they could have done with going to like their other IPs. Like sure, we had Donkey Kong not too far long ago, especially with Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze back on the Wii U. But like I feel like there also could be something done with Donkey Kong. I feel like Maybe it is time due for another Donkey Kong platform, or is something else entirely like Donkey Kong 64. And of course, yeah, the F-Zero is obviously the main thing that everybody wants, but they
Keith
still have no
it.
Idea how to.
Keith wants it bad.
I gave up. I literally gave up. I It's not and like happening. Even I'm not even frustrated anymore. I'm like, all right, whatever. All right,
it's pretty much become the Beyond Good and Evil 2 of for Nintendo, basically. And
why did you say that name? Why did you say that name?
And unfortunately, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is still ghost like a ghost title right now. Ever since the announcement, but I digress. And yeah, just they have a lot of things. They're sitting on so much good IPs. Like in situation with Sega, they have a lot of different. Like old power, like Power Stone. What other old Sega IPs they have? They got there, of course. I'll
keep you pretty. Power Stone is Capcom.
Capcom. Sorry. Like old IPs from Sega. Like for me, what was Knights? Yeah. Knights.
As popular as the character was, Knights was a failure. Unfortunately.
Okay.
And they did come out for remaster version, and it. Well.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, like, I feel like there's just a lot of things they can definitely do with their, again, I'm sorry, I sound like a broken record, but again, their old IPs were going to just classics. Yes, F-Zero is the most easy one that everyone wants. And of course, there's a lot more they can do right now. Like, even if they do something like a lot of people requested, like for the example, the whole virtual console of like releasing these old classic games on Nintendo Online Service or somewhere, like that whole, even back then with the whole replacement of the eShop, which they took down back from the Wii U, and there's no significant replacement for it, no plans of it whatsoever. Like, it's just, they're sitting on all these great properties and they just have no idea what to do with it. Like, whether it be just re-releasing it for Nintendo Switch or just, like, updating it for the consoles, like how the current days of reimaginings, like FF7 Remake, like with Resident Evil 2 Remake, like, all these things that they seem to, that's really getting popular this year, it feels like Nintendo is, like, not really, like, capitalizing on it. I mean, sure, I'll give props that Nintendo is free to do whatever they want with their IPs. I mean, again, that is their right. But at the same time, us fans, we've been clamoring. Again, the old same RV. We want F-Zero, but you have no idea what to do with it? I don't know. Just bring it as an HD remaster, something of that sort. Like, it doesn't even have to be, like, have to reinvent the wheel as you said, Todd. Just, like, bring it back, a remaster. Even a remaster would be okay, but the fact that just not even doing anything with it is just like, yeah, we have a friend, an IP that was used 10 years ago, and there's people clamoring to you for it to bring it back, a revival, but you're not listening to the fans. It's like, what are you doing, Nintendo? I guess this would be basically said for all companies as well who have like dormant IPs, is like, Nintendo. And this pretty much goes to any other gaming companies as well. Like, if there's an old IP you're sitting on and there is a clamoring market of, like, can you please make another game? For example, of course, I want Skies of Arcadia, but then that's a big thing.
No, Skies of Arcadia, Will! Don't do it!
Or, yeah. I don't know, like, or even, I don't know, like, some people even want to have Shadow the Hedgehog 2 or some sort.
I give them more credit than I give Nintendo, because at the very least, they are revisiting some of the older IPs. Like, today there was the announcement, and I wrote about it. I don't think many people heard about it, but Thunder Force AC is coming out for the Switch on May 18th? Yeah. From May 18th or May 20th, one or two. But yeah, so they have been doing it, and it's come out on the Sega Ages label. So Sega has been going back and pulling out games from their old IPs, but Nintendo was like, whatever.
Yeah, so I feel like they definitely be more frequent in their deliveries, it feels like. So yeah, just to wrap it up, and overall, like, Nintendo, you're sitting on a pretty much a literal gold mine of IPs. I mean, heck, I'd be very surprised if you bring Takamaru to the current age of Takamaru's Castle, and of course, like, with this whole age of ninja games, perhaps it would be a good joint with, I don't know, Origami Kingdom, or with the whole fad of Ghost of Tsushima. I don't know, something to bring, like, a lot of people were like, back in the earlier days of the NNES, like, oh, Takamaru's Castle, or even the old classic Zelda of yore, to bring it to the modern day reimaginings. That's, if you can do something like what Square Enix did with FSM Remake, then I think you may have something worthy of really producing. But as of right now, you're just sitting on these IPs. Come on, write something, reimagining, even twist it up the story if you have to. Use Nomura's influence of like twisting up some stories. I don't know. Like, but I feel like you could definitely do something with these things, these old type properties that you have right now, but you're just not utilizing. So Nintendo, please do something with it.
I'm right there with you because, like, and you forgot one of the biggest ones that I've been campaigning for, Golden Sun. Golden Sun is a classic RPG series. It had its heyday on the Game Boy Advance, and then Isaac has been a part of Smash Bros. As an assist trophy, and people have wanted him as a playable character in the Golden Sun to come back. Obviously, F-Zero. Donkey Kong hasn't been back since Tropical Freeze, even though Retro was rumored there for a while. We're only now really getting Metroid back via Samus Returns and Metroid Prime 4. Ice Climbers and Star Fox. How about we haven't had Star Fox in Star Fox Zero because of that abomination. And I mean, sure, they looked furry, but the gameplay was terrible. But you know, it's just, you're right, they are just sitting on this. And as sad as it sounds, they have, especially with the Switch, they have this opportunity where they have a console that has decent graphics, is able to be played multiple different ways, it's selling like hotcakes, and people are buying their first party titles in droves. Again, we noted last week they have 27 million sellers, 18 of which are first party gaming titles. And of course their top one is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is selling like almost 25 million units on its own. So they know that their games are selling. They just got to keep cranking it out, and they've done a well enough job between, you know, the Mario titles, the Zelda titles, and Smash Brothers, and Xenoblade, and now Paper Mario, and Animal Crossing, and everything. But eventually they're going to run out of their titles, and so they need to get onto these F-Zeros for Keith. Do it for Keith, Nintendo!
He
doesn't ask a lot of you. He just asks for every single special edition that you can offer to bring it to the U.S. and F-Zero. That's not a lot!
You know what? Here, how about this? Nintendo, you can learn from your rival. Well, not your rival anymore, Sega. You know, they helped release an old IP that was very popular back in the day and it's just as popular now. That being Streets of Rage 4, they worked with Limit Run Games, brought out several special and limited editions, and the game is doing fantastically.
Shout out to my friend Omega Sparks for doing the soundtrack part of it.
Say again?
Well, one of my friends, his name is Omega Sparks, and he did
Was he on Streets of Rage 4?
Yeah, he did like the main song for it. He did one of the main songs for it.
Did he do the one that they removed from the soundtrack?
I doubt it.
Pissed me off about that one.
I doubt it. I'll look it up while we're talking. But he did one of the songs for it. So anyway, but yeah, Streets of Rage 4. That's a great example. Or I just lost it. Dang it! There was another. It'll come to me. But yeah, Streets of Rage 4 is a great example. You know, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. You know, that game hasn't had a sequel in 10 years, and then they brought it back, put it on the Switch, and it was a million seller. So these games work. It's got to, you know, give them the chance to continue to work. It's not that hard. And as you yourself proved, Nintendo, when you did Samus Returns, you didn't put it in the hands of Retro. You put it in the hands of a new team that's never touched the game before in Mercury Steam. And it was a really good game. And it sold well enough.
Mercury Stream.
Stream? I thought it was Steam.
No, I thought it was Mercury. Mercury Stream?
Either way. But it's, you know, they did it really well. And they worked hard with one of the main contributors to the game. Or, sorry, to the Metroid franchise. They had one of the producers on board. And, you know, it was totally fine. It was a good game. I enjoyed playing it. I didn't finish it because it got kind of hard at the end and I had a lot of things to deal with. But eventually, you know, it was really solid games. All you need to do is find a team like you once did for Retro, like you did for Mercury Stream, like you've done for, you know, Monolith and all of them, and just give them one of these franchises and say, take your shot. That's all you need to do. And I would bet you they're going to step up because they know if they kill it, like they might be able to, you're going to come back to them. And that means more than just, you know, good sales. So, again, you don't have to break the mold. All you have to do is keep going with it. Okay, here we go. Limitless. That was the song. Keith, on Streets of Rage 4. Streets of Rage 4. So, yeah. It's called Limitless.
Okay. Or you know what else Nintendo could actually do?
What?
Recognize talent and hire that talent to work on their games.
Like me?
Oh, like you. Or, you know, like the guys who worked on that Metroid 2 remake, AMR 2.
There you go.
RM2R, and they were like, nope, you can't do this. Nope. Nope, sorry.
Ah, it's a dream. But yeah, Nintendo is the reason one of the reasons Nintendo is able to last so long and it's still the longest running, the gaming publisher ever is because they have all these IP that are really, really good that fans buy. They make quality games, but while I do condemn what they're doing with Paper Mario, other times they do need to step out and make things different to make things work. And when they do that, it often turns out okay, and other times they don't, and they have to revert like they did with Donkey Kong Country Returns to Tropical Freeze, which was fine. We loved the old school Donkey Kong Country games. I mean, Tyler was here, he'd be raving about that right now. So, find the people, Fast RMX. Remember that when that
loved
came
it.
Out?
Oh, I loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
both
yeah.
Movies.
That was F-Zero and everything but Name and Captain Falcon.
Yep.
Find those people, give them
Shinnon.
Yeah.
Shinnon. Yeah, Shinnon.
Yeah,
they did a great job.
Give them F-Zero franchise, said, make Fast RMX, but with our property, make it better, have fun. They'll do it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they'll kill it.
And I
believe
kinda,
they approached Nintendo, and Nintendo turned them down.
See? Now it's stupid.
What?
They could have had an F-Zero game out by now, which could have been filling the void that we're feeling in our lives.
Because as great as Fast RMX and the other one was, it lacked that character. It lacked that charisma. That
exactly.
Has.
Which would be solved if they were able to get Captain Falcon. So, but again, you have it all at their fingertips. You are winning, Nintendo. You, even though the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, which is a terrible name, is coming out soon, you're still in the lead. Because everything that's going on with them, with the lockdown and the question about graphics, you don't have to worry about that. You've already got 55 million consoles sold and, 27 million sellers with more on the way and everyone's happy for you. You're already winning. Now is the time to tighten the screws. Yes.
Break out the library. We must tighten the screws and secure our victory.
So,
Yeah, if they had management like that, they probably would be doing it. But, you know.
Again, we love Nintendo, but the best fans are the ones that love them but acknowledge the faults, and we're never afraid to acknowledge the faults, except our own, because clearly we don't have any.
Oh, I have plenty. I'm not afraid to admit that I have many issues.
My biggest fault is obviously my hair. It's not big enough. Okay, my fro is only 3 inches in volume. It needs to be 5. I'm sorry. My mom made me cut my hair in December for her birthday. I finally got her off my back. So
was it her one of her wishes? You need to cut your hair, please.
Literally, she's like Todd. I just want you to cut my hair for my birthday. And I go, okay, fine. It's like, and she literally said, you don't have to cut it after this if you don't want to. And I'm like, I'm holding you to that. And she goes, fine. And so every time they look at my hair and they go, you need to cut it. I go, nope. You told me I don't have to anymore. So this fro is growing large, baby. And I have to grow it out. It's the only good-looking thing on me. Anyway, so with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler's not here. Fine, whatever. When he returns, I will probably have him do a poll question. If not, we'll save it for next week. But do let us know, of course, what your thoughts are on Paper Mario and the Origami King. What do you think about the gameplay for Mortal Kombat 11's Aftermath characters, and especially RoboCop? Are you interested in Harvest Moon, or are you still hoping it was going to be Story of Seasons, if you're into that thing? Or if you're just playing Stardew Valley, just let us know that. Or Animal Crossing. Any game that's about real life that's not really real life, that it's better than real life. You know what I'm talking about. And of course, what is some things that you harp on with Nintendo because they just got it wrong? Let us know in the comments below. So, for King Cooper Keith, Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!